Dios y a nuestra iglesia.
Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Thank you. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. Hey, my name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible in just a moment. So if you have a Bible or you have an app, I want you to open it up to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 3 to 5. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 to 5. Very, very important scriptures for us to understand. Before we get into that, though, I want to show you a short video of Saturday night at VC. Okay, so let's go ahead and run that video. We have some people who are into it. All right, I love it. Hey, so if you've never checked out Saturday night at VC, it's a great time. I mean, the service is the same. You know, all three services that we do every weekend are the same. But after the service, there's all kinds of things, especially if you're a family, you have children, there are things for the kids to do. There are televisions with football games on. You get a great meal at a great price. Hang out with friends, meet new friends. If you've never checked out Saturday night at VC, we're going back outside from now until it gets too hot sometime in the spring. So that'll start this coming Saturday night. So I hope that some of you will check it out. I think you'll really, really like it. One other thing that we didn't do a highlight about, but I want to bring to your attention, we've been talking about it a little bit in our highlights. You know, we have the great honor and privilege here at Vineyard North Phoenix of hosting all of the pastors and many of the church leaders in Vineyard USA. That means all the vineyards all around the United States, and really a lot of vineyards all around the world, are going to be coming here for our Vineyard USA conference October 18th through the 25th. And so we're going to have 1,500 or more pastors in the room, and we're going to need a lot of volunteers. And so if you could help us by volunteering, if you could help us by volunteering one morning, one evening, the entire week. Some people are taking off work and they're saying, hey, I'll volunteer the whole week, whatever. I mean, it would be a huge, huge, huge blessing to us. So go to our website and check out how you can volunteer, sign up, and hopefully you'll be there. It would really, really help us, all right? You know, when you and I give financially to God through our church, it really does matter, because God uses our money to change people's lives. He does. He does all the time. He uses our money to change people's lives. So it matters that we give. And I know many of you are incredibly generous and faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May the Lord bless us when we give back to Him through our church. We're going to pause for a moment. We're going to pray for our offerings whenever we give those. And most importantly, though, what I'd like you to do right now is just ask God in your heart to speak to you through the Bible today, as we tackle this very sort of challenging subject of sexual and moral purity. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back to you, I pray that you would take our money and you would use it, God, not only to lift up the name of Jesus, we certainly want it to do that, but God, we pray that you would use it to change people's lives, not only here on earth, but for all of eternity. Bless us, God, as we give our finances to you, and bless the use of those finances to extend your kingdom. And now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to each one of us, every person online, every person in this room, God, whatever we need to hear from you, we pray you would speak very, very clearly. And I know for that to happen, God, that I need your empowering this morning. So I pray for that. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would fill me, you would empower me, you would give me the gift of teaching so that I would be able to teach the things that you want me to teach. So come, Lord, and have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been doing a series for quite some time now called Keys to Successful Living. And I told you last week that one of the main ways that we're able to live a successful life, especially in God's eyes, is by living a life of moral purity. And I gave you some things last weekend that would help you in living a life of moral purity. I'm going to give you a couple more things today. But before we get into those things, I want to do a little recap of what we learned last weekend. So if you want to maintain moral purity in an impure world that we live in, first of all, you need to make a commitment to God and His standard of authority. I need to make a commitment to obey what God says about sex and about moral purity. Second thing we talked about, if I want to maintain moral purity, I need to take control of my thought life. And why is that important? Because every temptation begins in our minds. So we need to take control of our thought life. Third thing we talked about, if we want to be morally pure, we need to carefully monitor what we take in as far as media goes. We can't just watch every bit of garbage that comes out and expect to live morally pure lives. And we also talked about we need to minimize the opportunities for temptation. Now, I want to give you two more things this morning that will help you to stay morally pure. And this first one is for those of us who are married. Or for those of you who are not married, never been married, you're single, maybe you're divorced, maybe you're a widow, but you think you might want to get married someday. This still really applies to you as well. So what you need to do if you want to live a morally pure life is on a regular basis, you need to work on your marriage. You say, Brian, why is that important? Because a growing relationship with your spouse will reduce the pull and the attraction of adultery or any other kind of sexual relationship. Look at it says in Ecclesiastes 9:9, God says this, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. See, God wants you to enjoy your spouse, not just endure your spouse. But to enjoy your spouse means that you're going to have to put continual effort into your marriage relationship. See, the reason why people get tempted after they've been married a while, get tempted to have an affair or commit sexual sin, is because they stop dating in their marriage. See, all the things that you did before you were married, after a few years, we begin to get so busy just with life that we stop doing those things. And that's when the spark begins to go out of our marriage. That's when the romance begins to go out of our marriage. Now, women, I need to explain something to you about men. Most of you probably know this, but some of you may not. Men, in general, tend to be what I call hunters. What I mean is that most men are very goal-oriented, very achievement-oriented. So when a guy gets out of school, either high school or college, one of the first things that they begin to think is, I need a woman in my life. And somehow, he ends up finding you. So what does he do? He pursues you, and he woos you, and he spends enormous amounts of time, energy, and money trying to win your heart. And during this stage, I want you to know, men do really strange things. They do things like go into women's clothing stores with you. They go into art museums with you because you like art. They carry your purse for you. They bring you flowers all the time. They call you up on their cell phone and talk to you for hours on their cell phone. They hang on every word that comes out of your mouth. I mean, they do a lot of things that no normal man would ever do. And then the moment you get a ring on your finger, the moment that you say, I do, the man begins to think, okay, mission accomplished. Now, he's not being selfish. He's just being who he is. As a naturally goal-oriented male, now he begins to think, okay, mission accomplished there. What's my next hunt? And usually the next hunt is, I need to provide for my wife. And I need to provide for my upcoming family. So you know what he does? He takes all of the energy and effort that he spent in wooing you, and now he begins to turn it toward his job, toward his career. And the wife begins to think, what happened to all the flowers? Why aren't we going to art museums anymore? You know, why aren't we talking on the telephone, you know, for hours at a time? She's thinking, hey, this is a bait and switch. A bait and switch. But ladies, guess what? He's thinking the same thing. He's thinking bait and switch too. He's thinking, man, before we got married, she couldn't keep her hands off me. And now she always seems to have a headache. You know, it's like the guy was going to bed one night and he's getting ready for bed. So he went up to his wife and he gave his wife two aspirin. And she said, what are these for? And he said, for your headache. She said, I don't have a headache. He said, gotcha. So he's thinking the same thing too. He's thinking bait and switch. See, the problem is we haven't put the same amount of time and energy into courting during our marriage that we did before we got married. We need to put the same amount of time, energy, and effort into dating our spouse if we want to keep the romance going. Like somebody once said, if there were more courting in marriages, there would be fewer marriages in court. So true. I want you to look back at Ecclesiastes 9:9. God says, we are to enjoy our spouse. Let me ask you this. Do you enjoy your spouse? Or let me turn it inward. Spouses, are you enjoyable to live with? Are you a fun person to live with? If not, then you need to make some changes. God wants you to be an enjoyable spouse for your spouse to live with, and vice versa. God wants both of us to be enjoyable. Now, husbands, I said something to the wives a moment ago. I need to explain something to you as well. There is something called non-sexual affection. And I know, that sounds like a contradiction in terms for some of you men. But trust me, there really is such a thing as non-sexual affection. It's where you show your wife that you love her and you give her affection without having it have to go all the way. Non-sexual affection. Husbands, if the only time you give your wife affection is when you want to go to bed with her, that's not a good thing. You need to make sure you're giving her non-sexual affection on a regular basis. Now, you know, the Bible is very clear about the importance of us maintaining our marriage and about the importance of us working on our marriage. And it's very practical, too. I had to turn earlier to 1 Corinthians 7. I want us to look at verses 3 to 5. The Apostle Paul says, the husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy. Yeah, like that's going to happen, right? Which is her right as a married woman, nor should the wife deprive her husband. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband also gives authority over his body to his wife. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. If you're a single woman, you've never been married, You're divorced, you're widowed, and you think you might want to be married sometime in the future. If you're ever dating a guy and you're contemplating possibly being married to this guy in the future, ask yourself this question: am I willing to give him complete authority over my body? If you're not, then don't marry him. Don't marry him. Because the Bible is very clear about this whole subject. You know, one woman did a very scientific study to find out what day or days of the week husbands like to make love. And she found out that husbands like to make love on days that start with T. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Taturday, Tunday, you know. A very scientific study. Marriage counselors Cliff and Joyce Pinner, great marriage counselors, great authors. If you ever get a marriage book by them, read it. They're always good. They said this: do you remember the anticipation of going on a date with your future spouse and how desperately you desired one another and how the sexual tension seemed to mount as you moved toward marriage? Today, they say, you may be wondering, where's our energy and desire for sex now? After 20 years of counseling married couples, we're convinced, they say, that good sex in marriage doesn't just happen. Couples who keep the sexual spark glowing through the changing stages of marriage are those who deliberately put time and effort into their sexual relationship. During the marriage's middle years, you may feel as though you're merely surviving sexually. The demands of life use up your energy, and your primary desire is often for sleep, not sex. But, they say this, you must keep the pilot light of your sexual relationship lit, even if you don't have the time and energy to turn up the flames as high as they used to be. Now, if you're married, you might be thinking, well, how do you do that? How do you keep the flames of your sexual life lit? They give several suggestions that you might want to take notes about for keeping your sexual fire lit as a married couple. The first thing they say is you need to keep committed to sex despite all the distractions. They say that your marriage and your sexual relationship must continue to be a really high priority in both of your lives. They say to be very cautious, about making commitments that rob you of time and energy of sex for sex with one another. Second way they tell you to keep your sexual fire lit is keep well-groomed and physically fit. Now, the well-groomed part just seems like common courtesy, right? But I've found that common courtesy isn't all that common these days. And so, husbands, if you haven't shaved in like 4 days, and you haven't brushed your teeth in 3, don't think that your wife is dying to have sex with you, because she is not. And by the way, medical experts tell us that a person's sex drive goes down the less physically fit a person is. And so stay physically fit to keep your sex drive up. The third suggestion in keeping your sexual fire lit: keep kissing every day. The Pinners say that kissing is the barometer of the state of your sexual relationship. And they also say this. They say that kissing for 6 seconds or longer will naturally draw you closer together as a couple. 6 seconds or longer. Fourth suggestion they give on keeping your sexual fire lit: keep it scheduled. They say, just like you need to schedule quality time with your family, and you need to schedule time to exercise, and you need to schedule time for, you know, going to the grocery store, whatever, they say you need to schedule time for your sexual relationship with your spouse. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking, well, schedule sex? I mean, I thought sex was supposed to be spontaneous. Why do we need to schedule it? Well, who said that sex is supposed to be spontaneous? See, in the Bible, God says that anything that's worth doing, you need to plan. You know, you needed to plan your worship today. If you came here, you needed to plan. Okay, we're going to get up at this kind of time. We're going to do this. We're going to get there on time, all that. If you got online, you needed to plan. You need to plan your worship. For those of you that work outside the home, you need to plan what you're going to do on your day off. You know, you need to plan how you're going to spend time with your kids. You need to plan to study the Bible. You need to plan to go to a small group. You need to plan if you're going to volunteer at church in some way. See, we plan things in our lives all the time. So planning to make sure that you have time and energy for your sexual relationship and your marriage is very important. Because if you don't make the time, you may not take the time in today's world where everybody is super busy. You know, I would also encourage you to plan and schedule a date night or a date day, depending on your schedules, with your spouse on a regular basis. That will help keep your sexual fire lit as well. And I know I tell couples this all the time. They're like, well, I don't have any money. You don't have to have money to do a lot of things. You can go get a cup of coffee for a few dollars and just talk. You can go to the mall and walk around. Doesn't cost you a thing. Just spend some devoted time alone with your spouse. It will keep you together, and schedule sex often. All right, another suggestion they give for keeping your sexual fire lit, keep sex interesting. Keep learning about your body and keep learning about your spouse's body. And keep coming up with surprises to keep sex from becoming boring. That's part of what it means to work on your marriage. And by the way, if you haven't read a good Christian book on lovemaking in a while, or maybe ever, you need to. You need to. There's a great book. I've talked about it before. There's a great book by Dr. Ed Wheat called Intended for Pleasure. You should get that book and read it by yourself, or each of you, or read it together a little bit at a time. It'll help your sex life. See, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. Keep sex interesting. So that's one thing that'll help you maintain moral purity. For those of you that are married, work on your marriage. Second thing applies to all of us. If you want to maintain moral purity, you need to magnify the consequences of sexual sin. Because the truth is, God has set up some consequences for sexual sin. And we need to be aware of that. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time. It's been a great privilege. And having been a pastor for this long, I've heard the heartache of unfaithfulness many, many times. I've seen the broken hearts. I've seen the rejection. I've dealt with the families who end up splitting up. I've dealt with the devastated children. I've dealt with people who picked up a sexually transmitted disease from an unfaithful spouse. I've seen the damage that sexual sin does to minds and hearts, emotions, sometimes even bodies. See, the fact is, nothing damages a person's emotions more than sexual sin. And the reason for that is because God has made us as sexual beings. God made you a woman. God made you a man. And God says that's a good thing. And since your sexuality invades every part of your life, having sex is not just a physical act. The Bible says having sex is a soul connection. The two become one flesh. And therefore, when that soul connection with your spouse is violated, something inside of you just goes tilt. Tilt. And not just in the spouse who is betrayed, but also in the betrayer. See, sexual sin leaves permanent scars. The shame doesn't go away. The sense of loss to everyone is enormous. I mean, I've talked to so many people over the years who have basically all said the same thing. I wish I could roll back the clock. I wish I could do it over. It was not even close to being worth it. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 6, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. There are consequences to sexual sin. And I know, Hollywood, you know, they've so sensationalized and glamorized sex outside of marriage that it rarely shows the lives that sex outside of marriage destroys. Because the truth is, when sex is abused, when sex is misused, it always, always, always has incredibly negative implications that most people are not aware of. Everybody loses. And God wants to spare you from that pain. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, Brian, I mean, let's just be real here. Everybody I know, everything I see on social media, everything I view on television or streaming, everybody says, you know, it's unwise that you're not just getting a little on the side. You need to be getting a little on the side. So I know what the Bible says. I know what you're talking about. But what are some real reasons why I should stay faithful to my spouse? I'm going to give you my top three reasons why I want to stay faithful to my spouse. The first reason I want to stay faithful to my wife, Thora, is because I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I mean, Jesus gave his life for me. I owe him everything. And one day, I want to live with Jesus forever. And one of the things Jesus said was, if you love me, and I do, if you love me, obey my commandments. And you know, one of his top 10 commandments was don't commit adultery. I love Jesus, so I want to stay faithful to my spouse. Second reason I want to stay faithful to my spouse is because I love her. I love my wife, Thor. I love my kids, Zoe and Luke. And the thought of the pain that it would bring to my wife, Thora, if I were sexually unfaithful, and the scars and the shame that it would cause my children, man, it's almost unbearable for me to think about it. And then the third reason I want to be faithful to Thor is because I fear God's judgment. I do. I have a healthy fear of God. And I would suggest that if you don't, that you get one. You get one, because the Bible very clearly says things like this in Hebrews 13. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, because fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Don't think you're getting away with sexual immorality, because you won't. Don't think that you're going to be able to say to the creator of the universe, yeah, God, I know you created me, but I know better than you about my sex life. I know better than you about sex, and so I'm just going to do what I want to do. You know what God says when people have that attitude? God reaches out in mercy and he says, don't do it. It's not going to be worth it. You're going to blow up your life. And it's never going to be worth it. I don't want to have to bring judgment on you. Don't do it. You know, I want you to know that God's standards about sex have never changed. Never. You know, premarital sex is always unacceptable to God. It's a sin. It always has been, and it always will be. Living together without getting married is unacceptable to God. It's a sin. It always has been and it always will be. committing adultery, having an affair, being unfaithful to the person that you're married to is unacceptable to God. It's a sin. It always has been, and it always will be. Having sex with a same-sex partner is unacceptable to God. It's a sin. It always has been, and it always will be. Pornography, objectifying people that way, is unacceptable to God. It's a sin. It always has been, and it always will be. Every single one of these things has the possibility of bringing God's judgment on you. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Now, what do you do if you've been guilty of one or more of these things that I've just been talking about? What do you do? Well, one of the best things that you've done is that you're here. You're here because the vineyard is a place for healing. The vineyard is a place for restoration. The vineyard is a place for forgiveness. And if you're new to our church, maybe you don't know one of our models. One of our models is everybody's welcome and nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. In fact, there's nobody listening to me right now. There's nobody in this room that has not sinned sexually. We all have. Nobody's perfect. And with God, anything is possible. Anything is possible. So what do we do if we've sinned in one of these areas of sexuality or all of them? Is there a way back to sexual purity? Yeah, there is. There is. First of all, you need to repent. Repent means to change your mind. It means to go in the other direction. You're heading in this direction. You turn around and you begin going in the other direction. It means to go to God and say, God, I know that I've done wrong. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've been involved in this particular sexual thing and I know that it's wrong. You go to God and you say that. You don't rationalize it. You don't excuse it. You just tell God that you're not going to do it anymore. And by the way, if you're in the middle of an affair right now, and I know some of you probably are. If you're in the middle of an affair right now, this is it. It's over. It's over today. You need to quit cold turkey today. You do not leave this service and go home and think, well, I'll phase out of this over the next 3 months. No, you go home, you make one phone call, and that's it. I'm sorry, I can never see you again. This is over. This is wrong. It's sinful. It's done. And then you have no more contact with that person. No texts, no emails, no cards, no phone calls. Because you cannot phase out of a sin. You have to stop it now. That's what repentance is. You want to come back to sexual purity? You repent. Second thing you need to do is receive God's forgiveness. God wants to forgive you. But see, you have to ask. You have to ask him. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, meaning to God, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And here's the best part. And cleanse us from all, say all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. But you have to ask. And then the third part of the way back to purity is you need to make a new commitment to live sexually pure. You need to make a commitment that you're going to live sexually pure by God's standard from this day forward for the rest of your life. That means the only person you're going to have sex with is the person you're married to. And not that you're going to do this perfectly for the rest of your life, but that needs to be your commitment. And then the last part of the way back to purity, on a daily basis, ask God to help you. That means on a daily basis, you fully surrender your life to Jesus and you say, Jesus, would you help me? Help me to control this incredibly powerful thing called a sex drive, this incredibly powerful gift called a sex drive, because I can't do it on my own. Jesus, help me. So what's the way back to purity? You need to repent. You need to receive God's forgiveness. Make a new commitment that you're going to live sexually pure. And then on a daily basis, ask God to help you. Now, you can do this. I told you last weekend, you can live a sexually, morally pure life in a very impure world. It's not going to be easy, but you can do it. Would you pray with me? I know this has been a very challenging message for many of us. It's been a challenging message for me. But just because something's challenging doesn't mean we're not supposed to talk about it. It's in the Bible, all through the Bible. And I believe that God is speaking to many of you online in this room about different commitments that you need to make to help you to stay morally and sexually pure. Again, not that you're going to be perfect. We're all sinners. We all blow it. But then you get back up and you repent and you ask God to forgive you and you ask Him to help you again. You get back up. Begin to walk with God again. That's what some of you need to do right now. You've blown it. Maybe to the point you're even in the middle of sexual sin. Maybe you're sleeping with your girlfriend, sleeping with your boyfriend. You need to stop. You need to stop today. Maybe you're in an affair. You need to stop today. There is a way back to God. It's not going to be worth it to keep going down that road. You will blow up your life. Maybe God is speaking to you about your marriage. And you're realizing, you know what? I haven't been a very enjoyable spouse. Maybe you need to say, God, would you help me? I want to be a better spouse to my wife. I want to be a better spouse to my husband. I want to be more enjoyable to live with. Maybe you need to make a commitment as a married couple to begin to work on your sexual relationship. Or maybe just begin a date night or a date day on a regular basis. Whatever God has spoken to you about, just say, yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, would your power just increase right now? Every person that's watching, every person that's in this room, let your power increase. And as people repent, as people confess sins, Holy Spirit, let them experience that cleansing that you talk about. That cleansing of all unrighteousness over our hearts and minds. Give us a new start today, God. Let us leave this service in a moment, knowing that we're right with you, not because we're living completely perfect lives, but because we've confessed where we've blown it. And then help us, God, to begin to walk with you in a greater way. I pray for each person, God, that's made commitments. This morning, would you help them to begin to live those out? Give them grace, give them power, give them hope that they can do this. You know, at the end of our services, we always pray for people, and we'd love to pray for you this morning if you would like some prayer. It doesn't have to have anything to do with this message. But if you'd like prayer for anything, you know, prayer for healing or prayer for a new job, prayer for maybe you're feeling like you're being attacked by demonic stuff, we'd love to pray for you about that. Whatever it is, we'd love to pray for you. If you're online, just click the prayer button. One of our team members would love to pray for you. But if you're here in the room, if you want to stick around, we'll have a ministry team up here at the front when I dismiss the service in just a moment. Please come to the front. We'd love, love, love to pray for you. Would you all stand? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, thank you for your word, God. Thank you for truth. I pray for all my friends this morning, God, as they go their separate ways. Would you bless in a special way each and every one? Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them, lift up your favor to each one of them, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon.